I'm amazed today, I've grown up in the church, but how much teaching is taking place in the church, and it's good, but how much teaching is around what God can do for us. The fact is, God is a good God. God is an abundant God. God is a God that cares about us and our need for what He can bring. But I've also discovered, and today I want to focus on this thought, that if we get caught up in all that God can do, we often miss who He is. See, and I don't know your situation, but there would be many of us today in this service needing a supernatural breakthrough. We may need physical healing. We may need an answer to our finances. We may need the help of a God that can help us break the bondage of our past. But you know what? If you focus in on what God can do, you may miss who He is. And we need to get a revelation of who He is before we get a revelation of what He can do. Because this is the thought. It's not your beliefs that change you. It's the revelations that you carry. Do you know that you could be in a service like this and feel the presence of God in worship, but actually leave this point or leave this place today and not carry the presence of God with you? Because you've come into an environment where there are people around you that have a revelation of worship. And they bring worship, and so we enjoy worship, we enjoy the revelation of a preacher, but my message today will either transform you because you respond to it, or it'll just be a great word and you'll go home the same. Why? Because for me it's a revelation, for you it's a belief at this stage. And we need to take what God is saying and who God is and allow it to drop from our head to our heart so we are carriers of revelations. Because here's the thought. It is our revelations that create the foundations to our future. So when you look at some Christians, some people say, well, Christians never change. Some Christians never change. Why? Because they don't live with revelations, and therefore they don't have a new foundation to step up into the next level. And the thought of who God is and who Jesus is a huge thought. And we've got to realize that we've got to be really clear about who God is to us, otherwise we could be off track. It's like the three grandmothers that went for a drive on a Sunday afternoon. And they said, where should we go today? And they went for this long drive and they found themselves on Highway 15. But they were going along at just 23 miles an hour on Highway 15. And the cop came behind them, police officer came behind them and thought, what's happening to this car? Put his lights on, pulled them over, walked up to the car, got the grandmother to put her window down, said, what are you doing, ma'am? You're on Highway 15 and here you are just doing 23 miles an hour. She said, well, actually, officer, we just passed a sign back there and it said 23. He said, no, 23 is the number of the highway before Highway 15. You need to actually lift your speed. Then he looked at the other ladies in the car and they were sort of white and shaky and in shock. And he said, what's wrong with you ladies? And they said, we've just come off 151. Do you know there are a lot of Christians today that actually have got the cart before the horse and then they're wondering why change is not taking place. Mark chapter 10 is an amazing insight to the rich young ruler. We've got it on the screen, but Mark chapter 10 and verse 17, it says, as Jesus was going out on the road, one came running, knelt before him, and asked him, saying, good teacher, what is it that I should do that I may inherit eternal life? And Jesus said to him, why do you call me good when no one is good but one, that's God? Have you ever read that and thought, why did Jesus respond to him like that? I think the rich young ruler gets a bad rap, actually. I think he was more godly than a lot of Christians. Oh yeah, he had an issue, but all of us have issues. Because the Bible says that he came running to Jesus. In other words, when you find somebody running, the passionate or the training or the scared, something's happening in their life that costs them something. He came running to Jesus. He kneels before Jesus and he says, good teacher, I want something more than what I've got. I want eternal life. And Jesus just turns around and he says, "Why do you call me good? Can you explain why Jesus would say that? Why do you call me good? There is no one good but one, that's God." This is what Jesus was saying. You've done so much right. We read on in the chapter how that he obeyed the law. He had kept the law since his youth. But the one issue he had was that his wealth, his security, the things of his life were his focus. And when he had come to Jesus, he didn't come to Jesus for who he is, but for what he brought. Jesus was saying, "Rich young ruler, you want a change, but you come to me as good teacher. But I'm not just a good teacher. I'm God." See, if you come to service, if you live out your Christian life for what God can bring you, you're going to miss the fact of who he is. Many people are coming to Jesus today for a healing, coming so that they don't have to go to a lost eternity, coming so that God can help what's broken in their lives, and God is the builder of what's broken. But the rich young ruler had got the wrong foundation. His question or his revelation was that Jesus was a good teacher, and yet he didn't see Jesus as God. And so Jesus responds to him. He looks at him in verse 21 with love, and he says, "One thing you lack, you got to go your way. Sell whatever you have, give it to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. Come take up your cross and follow after me." And it goes on to say how that he was sad and went away not being able to do that. How many would like to go to God sometime in your next quiet time and God says, "You've only got one issue to work on"? Are you like me, when you get really honest and vulnerable before God, God gives you a whole list? Come on, get that attitude right. Forgive that person. Make sure you don't do that anymore. I've got a whole list. That's why it's hard sometimes. But Jesus said to this guy, "You've only got one issue, one thing." But the one thing is the challenge of the scripture that I hope we get, because it's, you realize that you believe in me, but actually the essence of life in our Christian faith is not what you believe in, but what leads you. Wow. See, your money is leading you. Your money, your possessions is your security. The things of your natural world are the things that are dominating the way that you respond. And even now you come to me as a good teacher, or now you come to me as the God that can fix up all the problems, but I'm more than the fixer-upper of problems. I'm God. Are you getting this? Have you ever felt like, why doesn't my life really change? Why don't I really get the breakthrough I hear preached and I read about in the Bible? Why is it that I do so much right like the rich young ruler, but actually I'm still so much drifting? And Jesus was saying, hey, understand this principle that full reward is based on full response. This is a big issue, because today we come to church for what we can get, what tickles our fancy, what we love. But Jesus said, you believe in me, but you're being led not by me, but by the security of your world. You know, and you might say, oh, well, I like this story of Jesus because I haven't got money, and so this is not really applicable to me. It's not whether you've got money or not, it's what leads you. Do you know that a lack of money can lead you? Do you know that your credit card bill can lead you? Did you know that disappointment can lead you? Did you know that aspiration can lead you? Did you know not one of us in this room are actually exempt from the message of what Jesus was bringing to the rich young ruler, because it's actually not what you believe, it's what's leading you. See, and then we make a doctrine. We say, if you're rich, you've got to sell it all and give it to the poor. That's not what Jesus was saying. He says the problem with the rich young ruler is his trust was in his wealth. But actually, for many of us, our trust is in ourselves. Our trust is in something else outside of who God is. And God says, I want to bring a revelation that will change you forever. See, when I was a kid, coming to Christ was all in. It wasn't like, well, it's kind of a conditional response. You know, some of us come to Christ when we're teenagers. God, if you just gave me a girlfriend. God, if I just got that car that's for sale. If I get it, I know you're with me. God, if we just get our house. God, if we just get married. God, if we just had kids. God, if we just had something for retirement. God, if we just had grandkids. God, my life is gone. Are you hearing? What was Jesus saying? This is the crux of the message this morning. You come to me as a good teacher. You come to me for what you need. You come to me for a wrong perception. But you need to understand Jesus is Lord. No, you didn't get it. I'm God. And if I'm God, everything will be all right. It's going to be okay. And when you feel on the top of the mountain or the bottom of the valley, don't come to me as a teacher. Don't even come to me as a healer. Don't even come to me as the one that can restore all the broken things. Come to me as God. Because when you get me as God, then I'm the one that can restore. I'm the one that can release. I'm the one that can change. See, our whole foundation of ministry these days is we come to Jesus as Savior. But before He's Savior, He's God. We come to Him as healer before He's healer or provider. He's actually God. Do you know that not one of the disciples ever called Jesus Savior? In the New Testament, in the New King James Version, the word Savior is used 28 times. The word Lord is used 747 times. Well, God, I'll serve you if you get me out of this one. God, I'll give my life to you if you'd only do this. No negotiation. I'm God. Yes, I am a good teacher. I am a restorer. I am a healer. But I'm Lord. And I don't know if this message is being preached much these days. See, to make Jesus Lord means He's the one in control. Not you. Not the things that you've acquired. Not the things that you've lost. Not the things that you think or have been taught. No. What is it that's leading you this morning? And maybe if we could just get some alignment. This message, even though it's not pretty and it's not a funny one, we'll have a lot of fun tonight. But how many know you get the foundation right, then your future's right. You get the truth at the bottom, then God begins to build with that. Even in the Middle Ages, capture this. History tells us the soldiers of the Middle Ages in the Crusades were taught from being young boys that their life was not their own. They were born to be the freedom fighters of their nation. They were given as young men these swords that would go into a sheath. They never removed the swords from their body. It was with them 24/7, 365 days a year. Never moved from their body. It wasn't an attachment to them. It was them. They were trained to live with their sword in all occasions. Well, some of these soldiers in the Crusades, in the Middle Ages, they actually heard the message of Christ, and many of them received Christ as Savior. But when it came to being baptized, they would go into the river, and history tells us that some of them, as they were about to go under the water, would reach for their sword, and they would take the sword out of the sheath, and they would hold it up. So as they went under the water, the sword remained above it. Because they were taught that their sword was supreme. Their sword was even given to them. It was mandated upon their life. And so they wouldn't surrender the sword to anyone or anything. You want to capture this? A whole lot of people in this room. And God says, if you could get this, you've come to me and it's like you've given me so much. But actually, you're still holding something above the water. That disappointment, that tragedy, That thing that hurt you so deeply, that caused you to make decisions like, I'll never trust properly again, is actually above the water. And you're believing me to come and change your future and change your life, but you're holding something out on me. You've got to realize Christianity is not an add-on. It's not a negotiation. Today in society, oh, we're happy if you're a Christian, we're happy if you're Buddhist, we're happy if you're Islam, we're happy if you're into New Age, we're happy you can have anything. Everybody needs some sort of spiritual dimension. Jesus rocked up and he said, no, I'm not happy. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one comes to the Father but me. There's not a sword above the water. And I'm not sure what you've been through, but we go through some pretty dark times in life, and there are things we don't expect. And sometimes we hang on to those things, and there would be people that have money here. The question is, are you leading it, or is it leading you? There'll be people without any money, and you're going, God, I need a breakthrough. Is the lack of money leading you, or are you leading it? People with habitual problems or disappointment, is it leading you, or are you leading it? Because lordship is about a change. You see, lordship requires death to personal priority. It's like it's everything. And there are three expressions, or I think, as I've thought it through, that are the foundational ingredients of lordship. If you say, Paul, what is lordship? What's the foundational ingredients to lordship? There are three things. The first one is this: obedience to God's word. You see, it's kind of even the Bible sometimes today is the second thing we look to. But the foundations of lordship require obedience to his word. John 1 verse 1 to 5, you can read it in your own time, but it says, in the beginning was the word was with God, and the word was God. This is not the Bible. This is not God's book. This is not the Word. In the beginning was the Word was with God, the Word. This is Him. That's why it's alive. That's why when you begin to read it with an open heart, it transforms you. Come on. That's why every time you read the same passage, there's something fresh to come out of it. That's why when you actually pick it up, you know what you're doing is you're actually bringing God into your world. When you tell me, or you tell someone, you know, well, I'm not really feeling God, it's because you haven't picked Him up lately. You want to feel God, you want to get a revelation of who God is, begin to take the Word and begin to meditate in the Word day and night like the psalmist David. Begin to read it and say, God, I need to see you today. Not I want to get another fix in the arm, or now I want another rescue. No, I want you, God, because when you come, you bring everything that you are with you and things begin to change. You are the Word, and I'm coming to the Word, and I'm breathing in the Word. Come on. I am preaching better than you're responding. That's because I wrote a book on insecurity. Now listen, listen. Ever been through a tough time and going, oh God, all right, I'm going to go to the Word. Come on. Didn't like that. Didn't like that. Seven times, because that's the number of perfection. You're looking for the right word. Or somebody says, hey, what does God's word say? You say, well, I'm not sure I believe that. Be very sure what you are sure you don't believe in. Let me give, you know, Pastor was just sharing with me, it's a worldwide problem. Finance and God's people is a big issue. If you actually understand lordship, you'll understand that God desires to commission blessing and inheritance over you. But blessing and inheritance over you will corrupt you if the foundation is not lordship. And then people say, well, I actually don't believe in tithing. Uh-huh. Why? So if you can prove to me that you don't believe according to the word, that tithing's not for you, then that's cool, because you've got to obey the word. Yeah, well, it's Old Testament law. Yeah, you're right, it's Old Testament. It's very good, Malachi 3. But actually, tithing was set as a precedent, as a principle, by Abraham in and before the Old Testament. He tithed of everything he had because he understood out of a heart of thanks to God. You know what? God picks up what Abraham does, makes it a law in the Old Testament. And then Jesus picks it up, Matthew 23:23, and says, you know what? You can tithe, but if you don't have a right heart, tithing on its own is not good enough. We're beyond the law, so it's before the law, in the law, after the law. And when you say, well, I don't actually believe that, who's leading you? Well, no, you don't understand. We've got no money in the bank. Yes, you don't understand. Jesus is Lord. And if you begin to be obedient to his word, he will actually begin to cause a commissioning of inheritance upon your life. I was 18 years of age. Next year, I was going to Bible college at 19. I counted up how many weeks of work I had, what I needed for the college fees, and what would happen with what I had left. I worked out if I tithed everything, because I tithed since I was 3, I wouldn't have enough for the college fees. And for the first time in my life since I was 3, I sort of thought about negotiating with God. I said, God, this is for you. I'm going to Bible college for you. And I felt like the Holy Spirit said to me, at an 18-year-old, he said, don't you neglect obedience to my word. So you know what I did? I said, okay, I can't make it if I tithe. So God, I'm going to double tithe from this point on, and I'm going to see whether I can prove you, and do you want me in college next year? Do you know what? Within 9 months, not only did I have my college fees, I double tithed college fees, I bought a brand new 400cc motorbike to get me there, and I had enough money to go on the international trip that was a part of my Bible college year, because God honors his word. Lordship is about obedience to his word. You say, yeah, but it feels difficult. That's right. No negotiation. If it's here, come on. Don't just say, hey, great word, pastor. Listen, if you're not obedient, nothing changes. Why do you call me Lord, Lord? Luke 6, verse 46. Why do you call me Lord, Lord, and do not what I say? Whoever comes to me, hears my saying, does them, I'll show you what he's like. He's like a man who builds a house. Love this. He digs deep and lays the foundation on the rock. When the flood rises and the winds come, the house stands. But the one who doesn't follow through my word builds a house, but there's no foundation. Get this? No foundation. The winds come and it falls. Let me bring this picture. Both houses look exactly the same. They look exactly, they're the Christians that come to church every Sunday. They look exactly the same. They sing the same worship. They smile. They get dressed up. The difference between the two is only seen in the storm. And if you live in obedience to the word, you're going to stand through the storm and God's going to bring provision. Come on, somebody's got to get this. And the devil doesn't want you to bring lordship to him. So the first key is obedience to his word. The second key is surrender to his will. Lordship is not just about being obedient to his word. Now, God, you can use me wherever you want me to go, whatever you want me to do. So many of our problems are because we are doing what God's not on. We're making decisions about big changes in our life that we never asked, are you in this, God? And then we say, God, will you fix it up? And God said, you didn't invite me at the start of the journey. Now, God will pick us up from wherever we are, but I want to tell you this, lordship, most of our problems come because we do what we want. We follow opportunity. We follow greater outcomes in the natural rather than God. Are you on this? You know, sometimes God will take you to less so he can bring more. We often chase more and end up with least. And that's because what we just read about the rich young ruler, many who are first will be last and last will be first. The difference is who leads you. Some of us are in relationships that need to find some God answers because God was never in it at the start. Well, pastor, well, I don't know what God's doing because our marriage is falling apart. Yeah, but you married a non-Christian. The Bible says don't be unequally yoked. Now, I'm not going to condemn you. We need God to start helping you from this point on. But realize It's not God's fault that got you to here, it's yours. Ouch. Come on. Are you doing what God's asking you to do, or are you asking God to join your party and fix up your problems? Surrender to His will. Come on, this is not a nice message, but I'll be gone tomorrow. I've got to wrap up. Surrender to His will. Obedience to His word. You're saying, what's going to release God to me? Lordship. Jesus is Lord. Here's the third one. Commitment to His way. Lordship is about commitment to His way. In other words, you've got to realize that God's going to take you on a journey that not always will you understand. Come on, Pastor Dave, come and join me. I've been walking with God my whole life. There are many things that have happened in my world that I don't understand. But you know what? I've got to leave that with God, because He's God and I'm not. Some of us have gone through death and we didn't expect that death to happen. The death of a child, the death of someone that was just all of a sudden and screwed us up. We go, God, where are you in this? The Bible also said, unto God belong the issues of life and death. What are you doing trying to work death out? Ow. Some of us are being led by disappointment. You know what lordship says? God, if it's in your word, I'm going to have to change. It's not easy. Help me. But I'm going to start doing your word. God, if that's what you want, you want me to leave a country and start a church in New Zealand? I don't want to do that. You want us to go to San Bernardino, God? Okay. We'll be obedient to your will. And then God says, but not just my will, not just my word, but what about my way? Because my thoughts are higher than your thoughts. And my ways are higher than yours. Some of us are living in disappointment. And He's not Lord as the foundation of our life, because our disappointment still speaks louder than He can. You know, the meeting tonight, we're going to minister. And I'm expecting the floodgates of heaven to open and break strongholds in people's lives. And a freedom to come that I believe is God ordained. But I want to tell you, you've got to come to a point where, God, whatever you're in. Job didn't stop coming to church because everything fell apart. One day you'll see it all, but you won't see it until that one day comes. But God is God. He works all things together for good. And I want to tell you, if you've been through some dark stuff, you learn more in the dark stuff than you do in the light stuff. You see more in the day, but you learn more in the night. And if God has entrusted for you to walk through some deep waters, it's so that you can help others walk through some deep waters. And He believes you've got the character to get you all the way through. God, your way, that's okay. Is He Lord of your life?